We got a game night. Woo! Nick Kiprios, Justin Bourne. It's the Real Kipper and Bourne Show. Sammy McKee also on board. Derek Brandeo and Jake Schultz.
Hey, when you come in looking Jake all handsome, Schultz. Kip, this is stressful.
Well,
looking good.
A family get together. Do you guys want a heads up if I'm going to kind of, you know,
look the part a little bit?
Evolving.
Yes. Some days you come in here with your three-piece top hat and monocle, I'm wearing my sweatpants.
Would you have second-guessed that decision to wear that shirt?
No, I look good today.
You do look good.
Yeah, I'm not worried about today.
And at the end of the
days I am.
I have seven shirts, so.
They're just on a seven-day
rotation. I can dress any way I want, and I still won't look as young as you guys. You have that on me.
I'm losing it quick, man. The kids are draining the life force out of me.
Like fresh hair, money vest, jackets looking. Shirts looking great.
Yeah. Where are you going to dinner? You allowed to tell us? No. Something that ends in OS.
I'll take my parents to the golf course for dinner
that's
tonight.
Really
my
nice.
Dad
really
is
nice.
Turning 91.
Wow. How's
George,
he doing? Doing great?
But he is on the ball beyond belief.
He's telling
stories when he was 8 years old like they happened yesterday.
That's awesome. That's great. You get to look forward to that.
Yeah, and I can't find my car keys.
I was going to say he's on the ball and sharp.
Your dad didn't take as many
punches George,
as you did.
Maybe George should be our a guest at 4:30.
Let's do it. I'm in.
All right. We're glad you're aboard wherever you're watching, listening. Sportsnet 590, The Fan, Sportsnet 360, Sportsnet Plus. The Toronto Maple Leafs in for, I think, a tough one tonight. Good test against a tough Western opponent in the Dallas Stars, JB.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, this Dallas Stars team, best defensive team in the NHL in terms of goals not allowed. Ottinger starting to find it again. So, yeah, this is going to be a tough one because, you know, the Leafs don't give up a ton. The Leafs don't blow leads. The Stars don't give up leads. This is going to be a 2-1 game at some point in the third period, and it's going to be tight.
Yeah, this is the chance to be a real slog.
Yeah.
The Stars have only given up 75 goals this season. That's the least in the NHL. All their advanced stuff from their inner slot shots and all their defensive metrics. It's a very, very sound defensive team. So it's kind of a, you know, looking at each other here. You have the two goalies from the U.S. development group going up against each other that are both good young American goalies.
Mm-hmm.
A few parallels between these two teams. So it could be a bit of a, you know, the under could be in play tonight.
Can I give you a quote from Jake Ottinger in 2023?
Yes.
Talking about playing the Leafs, about Joseph Woll, who then was just made an appearance or two. He said, he's a stud. You can ask anyone in our locker room. Last year in the playoffs, I was saying, I think that will be his net very soon. Here you are in 2024.
And it's his net.
Starting goalie for the Toronto Maple Leafs.
We also have in about 30 minutes, Jim Neal, general manager of the Dallas Stars. We'll get into a few things.
That's cool.
Including, he's got a bit of a hole, a void in his salary cap. Tyler Seguin, we think, is gone for the rest of the season. Can he sneak him in?
Till April 16th.
Till April, right?
Yeah.
Can he?
Nikita Seguin?
Yeah.
Can he pull a Kucherov for the Dallas Stars? That's an option, but there's no doubt that he's shopping. Of course, we know that the NHL general managers have a Thursday midnight deadline before things shut down for their Christmas break.
Mm-hmm.
Two things. Plus, he's the associate GM for Team Canada at the Four Nations with Don Sweeney, so maybe you could get into that a little bit with him if you care.
Yes.
The teams have already been named, so
even if we don't care, you do.
I really do. So, but the question about the trade freeze thing, was that a Berkey thing?
Yes.
No.
Wasn't it him that made a
what was the story? What a Berkey thing is that he has his own meaning.
Wherever the
freeze is in the league, I want to say Berkey would give us an extra week to say, this is my freeze. I will not
cost the team nothing, a little extra peace of mind.
Unless he turned down a great deal.
Yeah, well.
Hey, Berkey, how about this one?
Yeah, it's available today only.
Gretzky for your seventh pick. Oh, man, if it wasn't for that
It's such a
freeze.
Good point. It's such a good point.
My internal freeze.
It's a freeze until it isn't.
So it's 20th to 27th. Is that what the trade like feels? The 20th feels late to me. I'm with Berkey. Mm-hmm. Like if you're getting traded on December the 20th,
yeah,
like that is
it's not happening.
No, but I mean, all I see is that the Canucks are looking for stuff. I know if somebody gets traded, like. Just feels uprooting your life at that time of year. It's a tough one. Anyways.
Kiff's probably going to hate this comment because he's very pro player. But like to me, it's like, this is you're making millions playing the NHL. It comes with some risks. Sometimes you get punched in the face. Sometimes you get traded. So it's hard. It's a hard, you get compensated for the hardness.
Oh, and now you're going to tell me we should play on Christmas Day.
Well, plenty of leagues do. Plenty of leagues do.
Yeah. I don't think they want to go anywhere near that. The NBA's ratings are already brutal, and now they're...
What is going on there?
Dude, the NFL has taken over.
Yeah, it's just the only... All anyone cares about is the NFL. Yeah. So,
Sammy just went to that. He came back from Detroit like he had had a religious experience.
It was the greatest thing ever.
Like he's an NFL evangelical now. Yeah. It converts people. It must be something in the water.
It's a different world. It's a different NFL's world. Different world.
But, yeah, and they're doing like a Netflix game on Christmas Day this year with the Chiefs and the Steelers on Netflix. Anyway, so.
You know what? It's probably coming.
Well, you think they'll put the NHL on Christmas Day?
But now they don't want to compete with the NFL. So no. How many games on the NFL Christmas Day?
I think just one. Two. Two, says Jake. So I know the Chiefs and Steelers.
But another one would be a primetime game, correct? An 8 o'clock game?
Ravens and Texans is the other one.
Yeah. And that's at 8 p.m. Eastern. So where are you going to fit in an NHL game? Would you do a noon game?
All I know is I've been to plenty of family functions where you would be dying for a game. Just put one on for the boys to go sit in the living room.
Can I tell you something right now? The amount of times I've escaped to watch Mavs T-Wolves at 10 p.m. on Christmas Day.
Well, I miss this one.
Really got to watch these two teams I haven't watched before.
I'd really like to help with the cleanup.
Yeah.
But come on.
My dad is, he handles it pretty well. He cleans her up pretty good.
I got to tell you, that was a Clark Gillies staple. When I was new to the Gillies clan, Clark would pour himself a rum and diet in a pint glass and go sit on the couch. And I was like, oh, we're good now? We're good? We can go in there? Yeah. Go post up with Clark.
And you don't dare bother him unless unless he wants to talk to you.
All initiated by him. Otherwise, I'll sit there in silence and watch the Yankees most of the time, whatever he had on.
You're a good son-in-law. Just shut up and keep up. You're like a caddy in the PGA. Just shut up and keep up.
I had a lot of experience with my dad and his friends. That is the rule. Shut up
and keep
up.
All right, let's get Craig Berube's thought on our first Kippers Clipper of the show on those Dallas Stars.
Yeah, well, they've got some real good skill over there and good players, obviously, but they've been a good team for quite some time now, you know. This is going back, you know, years. Like, they've had this core here, and, you know, they play a good brand of hockey. I mean, they don't give up a whole lot defensively. They got some, they play a fast game. Special teams are good. Like, it's a hard team. It's a good team.
It's a weird team, by the way.
I look at the Dallas Stars right now, and they remind me of the San Jose Sharks like 10 years ago or 12 years ago or whenever it was like, all right, this is going to be the year of the San Jose Sharks. They've been knocking. They've been every time we talk about the Western Conference, we mentioned Marlow, Thornton, Pavelski, and how close the Sharks are. Mm-hmm. The Sharks are. And now I look at the Dallas Stars today, last year, the year before. It's hard not to mention contenders for the Stanley Cup without not mentioning the Dallas Stars. But, like, are they close enough for you? Are they one player away, or are they just a really good run of Ottinger and Net away from winning a Stanley Cup as is?
My criticism of them in the past. So first, they're another team like St. Louis that is just like, I think, well GM'd. I'm not just saying that because we have Jim Nill, but like you look at the guys he's brought up behind their stars. But to me, it's like they had this old wave of great players and Seguin and Ben, and it was Pavelski before. And then this young wave of Stankoven and Johnston. But there wasn't that middle piece. And I worry that, it's not going to connect. They're Duchesne, and they're the old guys, and then they're the young guys. So kind of a weird hodgepodge of talent on this team. not really sure what to make of it necessarily. Jamie Benn, Sam Steele, and Evgeny Dadonov's a line. What is that?
Yeah. And Matt Duchesne's having a huge year for them. I think he's got 30 points for them. I think he leads their team in points. So they are an interesting squad.
Yeah, there seems to be that gap between the Wyatt Johnsons and the Jamie Benns.
Yeah, like, right? I don't think they're, like, one of them's talking about Pokemon or whatever, and the other's dealing with this Roth IRA.
You've never sounded older. It's Pokemon's.
Pokemon's.
He's talking about his Pokemon's. But it's another great, since we are in the Leaf Hour, it's a great opportunity to be tortured for Leaf fans watching Mason Marchment, who was traded for Malgin, as everybody knows, and he's been good for them this year, and he's a beast. He's the type of guy that every Leaf fan would love on their team. So it's another opportunity for Leaf fans to be tortured watching him play tonight.
That's fun.
Or it's another chance to think that they're going to win because they have won six straight meetings against the Stars.
They've been really good.
Outscoring them 24-10, the same ones that I've just spoken of about being a contender.
Nick Robertson versus Jason Robertson. Nick Robertson is 4-0.
Yeah.
He has 2 goals to Jason's 0, 2 points to Jason's 1, 10 shots to Jason's 9. Nick Robertson, the better Robertson.
and if you'll remember correctly, I think Matthews broke the Leafs' single-season goal-scoring record in Dallas. It was an overtime goal.
It wasn't just an overtime goal. It was a goal, I don't know if you guys remember it, where he looped into the neutral zone. And it was as if he had like 2 or 3 guys hanging off his back.
Yeah.
And he went in and stuffed it in. And you're like, one of the all-time power moves.
Yeah.
It was a statement goal. It wasn't just a goal. And it wasn't just to set a record. It was, for me, a statement goal.
It's funny because I don't remember that, but I remember Nick Robertson's OT winner.
You do?
Yeah. You know.
That's where I'm at.
Wow. So, yeah. It'd be interesting to see if they can get that. Matthews, be nice to
Morgan Riley has lit up the Dallas Stars. All-time points per game among defensemen versus Dallas. It's Bobby Orr, then Morgan Riley, then Paul Coffey, and Dennis Poffin. 1.29 points per game against the Stars.
Wow.
All right, so does loading up a big line for the Toronto Maple Leafs get them to 7 straight wins?
You're going to hate this, Barney.
Oh, God.
The advice to the top line, clip two,
there,
please.
Bang it in. Someone to the inside.
Number two, clip two, please, Derek.
Don't be too fancy. Like, you know, you still gotta play the right way, be direct, shoot pucks, get to the net. You know, like I talked to these guys, like, you can't all be on the outside wanting the puck and, you know, trying to create space for yourself. You know, we gotta be direct still, and you gotta have guys at the net. So if somebody's got the puck, the other two guys got to read off each other, and they got to be at the net. Because if they, you know, they have the puck and they're skating around and doing all this stuff, and nobody's at the net, no shots are getting there. It's pretty much useless.
Has he seen the way the three of them dress? They do fancy.
Can we just get the start of that clip again, please, Derek?
Don't be too fancy.
Oh.
Great, that's great drop. Save that one.
They are fancy.
They are fancy. That's why they're bajillionaires and why they're famous and why they're all-stars.
That's what it boils down to.
Hall of Fame tracking guys. They're fancy.
If you don't want these guys to be fancy, and I'm asking this to the coach of the Toronto Maple Leafs, and I will never get an answer, why are you putting these three guys together if you don't want it to be fancy? Like, what are you – you're expecting all these guys to be like Thomas Holmstrom all of a sudden? Like, if you don't want them to be fancy, why put them together? It's going to be the fanciest thing ever.
Oh, God. They're talking about monocles. They're coming out doing Rockettes. Kicks and wait till you see what you get tonight.
It's almost like he's preparing to be mad at it.
I know.
Like he's pre-mad.
He pre-hates it.
He's pre-mad.
It's such a good one.
What are we going to say if
habits take time to break?
So stupid. Hey,
If they dump a puck into a corner, I'm going to be crushed.
Well, I know. And they're going to. Can you just see it? Like, Willie's coming up through the neutral zone. He dumps it in Mitch's corner, and Mitch bangs into who do they have on D back there? I don't even know. Is Hawk and Paul still on their
team? One of them looks at the other one and goes, go get it.
They all try to be F3?
Went in last time.
Yeah.
It's your turn to dump and chase.
They got Labushkin, Brandon Smith, Nils Lundqvist. How is this team so good? Leon Bichel, Oscar Back, Colin Blackwell.
You do anticipate a lot of twisting and turning and cycling.
I hope so.
Right?
Harlem Globetrotters, let's go.
But to Craig's
Let's see
point,
some passes connect, Kip. 3 in a row. Let's keep track tonight. How many three in a row passes we get.
Crisp. On the tip. Tic-tac-toe. Yeah,
not...
And to answer your, Thomas Harley's day-to-day, and Matt Dumba's on the IR, so there's two members of their D-Corps.
Harley's very good.
Yeah,
he's out. And Dumba's good as well.
Yeah. So a couple guys in their D-Corps that are out.
Their forward group is Robertson, Hintz, Johnston, which I love as a line.
Yep.
Marchment, Duchesne, Stankoven, very good. They're good.
Yep.
We know Stolar's out for anywhere between 4 and 6 weeks. We know Joseph Wall's the man right now.
Yeah.
So what do you think's going through his mind right now in terms of looking, first of all, like you're starting out, it's not kind of like dip your toe in the water here as the new number one goaltender now for the Leafs. It's up against a very tough team. What do you think, how he's feeling now moving forward?
You know, he doesn't seem like a guy who gets too stressed out. You know, he's good self-talk, smart guy, but I just feel like, so I follow Islanders, as you guys know, and Varlamov's hurt, so they're playing Sorokin every night. Sorokin's been, he was great for a while, great save percentage, and the last three games, it's like 867, 818, 826, like it's just, it's like nine of their last 10 starts, or nine of their last nine maybe he's been in, and it's just like it's fallen apart on him a little bit. Like, can Joseph Wohl, how much are they going to lean on Wohl with no backup? Well, I'm saying no backup.
I'm sure he's pretty, like, on a personal level, it's pretty exciting for him to go up against Oettinger tonight. That's like their former teammates with the U.S. Junior National Program or whatever. That's probably pretty cool. They've never actually gotten to play. I think it was last year that they maybe he was hurt, probably that he was hurt, so they didn't get the matchup. So that's probably cool. But like I said yesterday, I'll say it again to Borny's point, gotta be careful here. Like, you're really, really got to be careful.
I want to ask you, this question because you kind of have a temperature out there for the overall feel of the Leafs amongst your people.
My people.
Your people.
Oh, my people. Thank you.
And that is that if Wald doesn't have a great, I'm not saying that he's pulled. I'm not saying that he gets shelled, but he just doesn't have a great night. Does that start now a small fire in your world about the goaltending, or are you gonna be okay?
I think mostly fans, their real worry with Wall is injury, not performance. Where I think everybody, myself included, kind of thinks that he's a very good goalie and think that he's gonna be okay, and that like if he's in the lineup, they trust that he's going to be pretty good.
Yeah.
It's just that they play 100 games in the next 4 days and that he's very injury prone, and that if how much he's going to be playing and sort of what you were talking about with Sorokin, that's the worry. But if he's in there and he's healthy, I trust he's going to give them around between 9-10 and 9-15 goaltending, which should be, with this talent on this team, good enough to win. So I think that's where mostly fans
are. So outside of tonight, we do know that it's hot and cold right now in terms of the talent that you're going to face. Hot tonight against the Stars. Then you come back with Buffalo and the Islanders. Then you go another tough one against Winnipeg here. He'd have to go on a small stretch of underperforming for you to feel like they're Houston, we got a problem.
It would be hard. Oh, this is the jinxiest thing.
Oh, boy.
It'd be hard to make me nervous about his performance because I'm with Sam. Like,
yeah. No, I believe he's a good goalie too.
For me, it's just like, can he do it without breaking things down?
So, we're still feeling like they're in good shape here because you can't give them all these kudos for the depth that they've had in that from training camp to this point without feeling like if one of them disappeared, the house was not gonna fall apart.
I also feel like with Stolarz, there's probably some, you know, under promise and over deliver hopes, you know, say 4 to 6 weeks and maybe he's back 3 to 4 or something. Like, it doesn't have to be that long. I will just say, I don't remember a schedule because of the Four Nations face-off as condensed as this one from now till the end of January. I don't know. The Leafs got to play 20 times. Like, it's a ton of hockey. So,
do you want to listen to the coach on it?
I do. Yes,
okay. Clip 3, please, Derek.
Yeah, I mean, he's got to take the ball and run with it here. And like I said, he's played really well for us this year. And, you know, he's going to be put a little bit more in the spot now, not so much of a rotation, right? So I think he's prepared for it, and I think he wants that.
I think so too.
So just looking ahead here, if we're talking about the starts, you go, obviously starting tonight, Friday against the Sabres, it's Hill to be for me,
mm-hmm.
for sure, right? Because you don't want the two-day thing, it's scary, just what happened with Stolarz. And then it's the, and then I guess you have to go Wall on Saturday against the Isles, and then you go to Monday against
Wall
the Jets.
Again.
Wall?
Yes, 100%.
Okay.
All day long.
And then you're off till Friday against the Red Wings.
That's to close out.
So four games till Christmas, you see him getting three of them.
Yes, I do.
Yeah.
Yep. I do. And
but Sam, if you can't use him that
little,
much,
little,
like you can't play playoffs.
Little different scenario.
I
know.
I understand, but like we literally just had this conversation with Stolarz where you guys were mad about him starting in two games 48 hours later, and this guy is just as, if not more, injury prone than Stolarz.
Yeah.
I don't mind with the Saturday, Monday. Both are at home. Mm-hmm. And you should be able to take care of business against the Islanders at home Saturday night and then finish it off with a good effort against a very good, solid hockey club in the Jets.
It would be crazy. Like, let's say Wohl gets hurt somewhere in that stretch where you entered a playoff series.
Why do you just throw that
good
out?
Good Lord.
What do you mean? The first guy to thought? We're talking
just,
about it.
What do you just say? I
it
hope he gets a shout-out.
It's expressly what we're talking about.
That's like saying, get a shout-out 5 minutes before the game's over.
I wonder if they would literally do a tandem in playoffs and say, we don't want either guy going on 48 hours. Your game, your game, your game, your game, back and forth in the postseason.
The answer is no.
I agree.
No.
I agree.
Want to talk about the third line?
Yeah, it's pretty good. So the Leafs are finally healthy. They've gone through a stretch where, you know, they were really thin and then recently have got back. Who have they got back? So December 7th, Pacioretty. The 10th, Domi. 12th, McCabe. 14th, McMahon. And tonight, Kampf, all back. So there are five guys back in the past week or two.
All right, let's go to Craig Berube, clip five on getting some help.
I love that they scored. I want them to score, but it's the mindset that they had, in my opinion, was, you know, Max and Robbie and Mac, they skated and they were on people. And they played fast and they played north and they were all physical. That's really what it boils down to. They were in there, they competed on pucks, they won puck battles, they took the body, and they attacked, you know, and they got to stay with that. And it's just about them managing the puck. Like, we don't need you to be cute. We need you to play this way. Play north. Get on the forecheck. Play fast. Get in there. Win puck battles. Get to the net, you know? So they did a real good job last game for us.
We don't need you to be fancy pants.
You could legitimately AI generate Berube. Like,
well, you could get too fancy.
I think you could AI generate anyone.
Some people to change their opinions. This guy, you know exactly what he's going to say.
Yeah.
Like Sheldon Keefe last year, you never really were sure.
That's fair.
You know exactly what he's going to say.
Yeah.
I saw everything. We saw everything that he spoke of between Domi, Robertson, and McMahon. And I think McMahon's been very good since he's come back. He's another one that just, like, you're not so worried about anything except, hey, stay in the lineup.
Yeah.
Stay healthy.
You know what I think a lot of fans
just do your job.
Probably don't know is how much these guys were hurt with the Marlies. Like, McMahon was regularly, when they wanted him, he wasn't quite healthy. Wohl got hurt with the Marlies multiple times too. So it's not like we're just harping on a few NHL injuries here. This has been.
I really do think, though, that McMahon is a bit of a X factor for the Leafs.
Yeah.
Just in terms of.
It's tough not to notice that when he's in.
I got to tell you, being at the game on Saturday night, his speed jumps off the ice.
Oh, yeah.
Like his.
And he can take it to the net.
But when he drops that shoulder and cuts the puck into the middle of the ice, there's not many guys in the Leafs that look like that with it. And, you know, he had that breakaway where he got stoned by Husso on Saturday. Like, he really, really was flying up and down the ice for me.
Yeah.
It's just his, can we count on you? Are you reliable?
And, like, can you do anything about that if you're him? Like, is it just a matter of, you know, you don't think it's like the guy doesn't want to do it. You know, that's not it, right? It's just unlucky, I guess. He's 94th percentile in the NHL in speed bursts over 20 miles per hour.
I would say that looking at this lineup with these forward lines, if those three lines, and I know it's a lot to ask, but can show and turn out to be. Like, that's a really good top nine. And, you know, you can have the conversation about Reeves, and a lot of certain members of Leafs Nation think that Reeves maybe shouldn't be playing as much as he is, and
that's
whatever. We can have that conversation, but I don't hate having him out there for 8 minutes a night or whatever. But, and that fourth line is big and long and strong or whatever. But I do look at that forward core. And if you add something else to that, even, it gets even more deep.
I mean,
Holmberg out though, eh?
Listen, I'm not a huge, like, at times Reeves fan, but I think he gets underrated a little bit too for the physicality he also brings. If I'm not mistaken, he is one of the top hitters, not just on Toronto, but in the league.
You're not mistaken. He finishes every check, yeah.
I don't know. Do you have access to that real quick?
Yep.
Where would he be amongst hitters in the league?
You know, part of it is like having to tease it out for per 60 because of his minutes. Yeah. But let me, if you give me half a sec, I'll say minimum, what, 10 games?
Like, he's, to me, if he's...
Yeah, he's fifth in the league.
Fifth in the league. That's pretty good.
That's per 60?
That's per 60. Yeah. That's per 60.
No, he leans on everybody.
Right? He's a tone setter, so...
First in the league is Kiefer Sherwood, by the way.
I mean, this
with a hat trick.
Yeah.
The other night.
Kipper, you're going to probably hate this, and you may hate it too, but I saw the picture, like, you know how they put out that cheesy, like, belt picture after every game?
Mm-hmm.
They put out, I don't know who got the belt on, so probably John Tavares, who got a hat trick, but they put out that picture, and it's Matthews, and it's Tavares in it, and Reeves is in the middle there, he's got a big tooth, like, they seem to genuinely like him. Like, that kind of does matter, too.
Yeah.
I think he's popular.
I also don't think he's a bad hockey player. Right? You know?
Yeah, I mean, I don't think he's...
I think he makes plays at times. He can come up with a puck, get it back to the point, go to the net.
I think he... Reeves is like the philosophical debate of, like, are you someone who just, like, sees him as this enforcer or whatever? In which case, yeah, you might rather have Pontus Holmberg in that spot tonight. But I think it's fine to have the element of Reeves as a little something that Holmberg doesn't.
I'm telling
a
you right now.
Something he doesn't.
I'm telling you right now, if I got to pick between those two, it's a very obvious choice for me. It's Reeves 10 times out of 10.
Really?
One more before we move on. Discussing the top nine here. In your world, is there now a possibility that you start the Stanley Cup playoffs with McMahon, Domi, and Robertson as your third line?
No way.
Okay. What are we talking about then, the last 10 minutes?
Well, because you have to win games and get to the playoffs.
Yeah, Domi, Robertson, not a pair... Domi in the middle.
I mean,
you're searching for anything to give these guys a blow in the top six.
It's okay to talk about it mid-December.
Of course.
And give them kudos, but it's not a long-term growth to going deep in the playoffs for you.
Let's say Nicky Bobby got red hot. Red hot. Shoots it in a whole bunch over the next stretch. Could you see him being here in playoffs? Because this has been the comment. We've pretty much said he's not going to be.
No, they trade him at the peak of his value. That's what you do. They should have done at the start of the preseason.
The answer is yes, he could be around, but he's going to be around with more depth than what we see now. So I envision him possibly being the 22nd guy in the roster.
He's scratching right? score.
And
put him in.
And then he comes in when you need a goal, and if he does, maybe it's sliding him second, third line, but as a regular to build towards a battling third line, I'm with you that it just doesn't seem like a Domi Robertson tandem along with a heavier guy like McMahon would be still possible for me.
I think it's more likely he's watching the game from San Jose when they trade him for a depth team. Anyways, we should go to get to Jim Neal.
All right. Okay, we got Jim Neal. When we turn around, we'll get more into the Dallas Stars, but we will dive in deeper on the Leaf blue line as well, OEL, what we've seen lately from him, and where's the comfort zone on which side he should play on. That and more when we return to Real Kipper and Bourne.
Get smarter when you listen to Hockey Talk, the Hockey PDO cast with Dmitry Filipovich. Subscribe and download the show on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back to the Real Kipper and Bourne Show as we tee up the Toronto Maple Leafs and the Dallas Stars. Wednesday night hockey on Sportsnet. Let's welcome in Jim Neal, general manager for the Dallas Stars. Jim, hope you're well. Thanks for joining us. Just want to touch base on your hockey club, coming off a couple of wins, a 3-1, the latest one against a very good Washington Capital hockey club. But prior to that, a tough loss against Nashville, who's struggling. Where do you see it in terms of your comfort zone after 30 games?
Yeah, Nick and Justin, thanks for having me on. Appreciate it. You know, it's I'm one of those grumpy GMs. I always expect more, so never happy. But you know, I'm not going to complain about our record. You know, we've done a lot of good things, but other than three or four games, I can't say we've had everybody kind of humming along and on the same page and playing well at the same time. We've had some guys playing great. Matt Duchene, Marchment, Sagan. You know, he's injured now, but their line was really carrying us for a long time. Jake Ottinger has been outstanding in net. Our defense overall has been very good, but we've really lacked. You know, Jason Robertson's got off to a slow start, and he just scored his 7th or 8th goal. I think it was the other night. Rupe Hintz is now up to 12 goals, but off to a slow start. Wyatt Johnson's got 6 goals right now, I believe it is. So we've got a lot of guys that are a big part of our team, and need to take the next step. You know, for us to have success. And we just haven't got everybody on the same page at the same time, but still, it's a long year. We've all been around a long time. It's a long season. So I know it's there. It's just kind of getting that all meshing together.
I think you're in a pretty good spot when you've given up the fewest goals in the NHL and you're going, yeah, I don't know. We got better. That's a pretty good position for a GM to be in. So one of the tough parts offensively is you have lost Tyler Seguin. We've talked a little bit on this show about what sort of opportunities that presents to you. Would you intend to be looking to use some of that money to add some scoring?
Well, what I want to do first is we've integrated a lot of younger players into our lineup. Mm-hmm. Logan Stankoven came onto our team late last year, and this is really his first full year. You know, he's a candidate for Rookie of the Year. He's a good young player. Giving him more ice time, more responsibility. Where's he going to be at? That's what I want to see. Maverick Bourque was the AHL MVP of the year last year, the most valuable player. He's now on our team. Let's see what step he takes. We got Liam Bischel, a young defenseman, who's coming and played for us. So we're integrating some younger players into the lineup, and I want to see where they're at, and do they grab this opportunity? And I'm anticipating they're going to, and that's going to put less, I guess, urgency to kind of, you know, replace a player like Tyler Seguin or even add more to our team. So I want to wait and see. Like I said, we're 28, 29 games into the season. Let's see where we're at here at the 40, 45 game mark, and then I'll kind of make that decision as far as to, you know, what's the next step for our team.
Jim, just from afar, it just seemed the last few years, as you just kind of pointed out, that you had those veterans for sure, and I'll include Pavelski before he shut it down, and then the young kids, and then at times do you look at your lineup and speak of that gap in between, and as much as you want to give experience to Logan and Sam and the rest of them, they still can't get older. They can get more experience, obviously, as they play each and every game, but ultimately, do you need a gap somewhere to bridge the two sides?
Well, that's what we're going to see. You know, we're transitioning a little bit. You know, I go back to 4 or 5 years ago. You know, our team was at a point where, you know, what was the next direction going to be? And all of a sudden, you know, we had this one, a big draft group came in. You know, the Miro Haskinens, Jason Robertson, Rupe Hintz, and these guys all came in. And we're kind of going through that same transition right now with Logan Stankovens, Wyatt Johnson, Maverick Bork, Thomas Hardy. So we're kind of transitioning here in between. And these guys have all gained experience playing in the playoffs and that. And, you know, you mentioned Joe Pavelski. We lost him. Who's going to step up and take that ice time? Who's going to grab that opportunity? And, you know, Wyatt Johnson's one of those young guys we're anticipating. So we want to see what next step they take. You know, it's a tough league. And, you know, we have expectations, but these players have to find their way, too. It's not easy sometimes. And so we got to have some patience with them. Let's see where they're at and see where it all fits in as we go for the next 20, 30 games.
Jim, do you have a drafting or development philosophy in particular? I just look at, like, you know, Jason Robertson and Johnston and Stankoven and Bourque and Harley and Heiskanen, and like these guys that you draft have become really high-end players. And Do you think it's better for these guys that they're coming into a good team and they have the supports around them, you know, compared to some guys on some very bad teams that get drafted? I think sometimes it's harder. Do you have a general philosophy for how to develop these guys?
Well, there's a lot of pieces that go into it. And, you know, you have, and every player is different. You know, Wyatt Johnson came in right from junior, didn't miss a step. You know, we gave him those kind of 9 games, see where he's going to be, and he wasn't overwhelmed, and boom, he just kept going, and here we are 2 years later. Some other players, Thomas Harley, he, you know, spent some time up top, then had to go back down and play some games, and it was the best thing for him. So he had a different path. So it's really everybody's individual, but I'm a big, big believer in these guys have to spend some time. They got to play hockey. You know, I don't want them playing 6, 7, 10 minutes in the lineup at a young age. They're better off to be down in the American Hockey League. And the American Hockey League, as you guys know, you guys have lived it. We've all lived it. It's a tough league. Mm-hmm. You know, you throw these kids down there, and they've been the star players either in junior or college or whatever, and they think they're going to go in and it's going to be nothing to it. Well, there's a bunch of older players down in the American Hockey League that they don't care where you're drafted. They don't care if you're the leading scorer, because most of those guys down there were those guys too. And so you got to find your way through it. And I'm a big believer it's important to go down, pay your dues in the American League. You know, you're under less pressure, and find your way, find another niche. You know, not everybody's going to come up and be in the power play. So what are you going to become? Are you going to be somebody the coach can depend on with 2 minutes to go in the game? You got to find that niche, and you got to find that in the American League, because you can't find it in the NHL. Winning's too important in the NHL, and it's a fine line. So, you know, the long-winded stories, I'm a big believer these young players have to play, and that's where you're you know, your development staff down the minors. We got a great Neil Graham and his staff do a great job down there. The Rich Peverleys and Ben Bishops who are working with these kids in junior and college are important. So it's really the whole package comes into play, and each player is kind of individual how you deal with them.
Jim, as far as the defensive side, led by Miro Heiskanen, and I'll include Ottinger, who maybe just didn't have the best season last year. What are you seeing from the back end?
Actually, our back end, we've been solid. We got a good mixture. You know, Miro, you know, a lot of people don't really get to know who Miro is. You know, we play down in Dallas in a different time zone in that, but he is one of the most rounded defensemen in the league. He can do it defensively. He can do it offensively. You can play him in any situation. He's got a – I really compare him to me. I was fortunate my Detroit days. I had Nick Lidstrom, and then I worked with Scott Niedermayer in some world championship teams, and he's really a combination of those two. He's got Nick's kind of head and stick, and he's got Niedermayer skating, and that's a pretty good combination. So our back end has been fine. Thomas Harley's taken a big step. Nils Lundqvist has taken a big step for us. I mean, these are younger guys. We just brought in Liam Bischel. He's a 6'7" defenseman. He's bringing us some physicality. And then you know, with the Labushkins and the Dumbas, and really probably a forgotten man in all this is Esa Lindell. And that's another person that people don't know, but there's not a better defenseman in the NHL. Last year, we had him and Tanev. For the people in Toronto, they know what Tanev is. Well, Tanev is our younger version of Esa Lindell's younger version of Tanev. And they play the right way. They block shots. They defend properly. And they're no fun to play against. And that's who our Esa Lindell is for us.
I can't imagine how fun it was having those two guys on the ice. Tanev makes a lot of people feel safe up here. So having him and Lindell on the ice at the same time must have been lovely. Tell us a little bit about Mason March. You're in the Leafs hour of our show here. So tell us a little bit about Mason Marchment. He is, as someone who watched him closely, I feel like he's a chaotic player. Like there's a lot going on. There's limbs everywhere. Sometimes he shoots it in the net. Sometimes he punches someone in the face. What are your thoughts on Mason Marchment?
Well, he's become one of my favorite players. You know, I was fortunate. I played with his dad going way back, so I have a connection there with his family and that. And that's way back to Winnipeg days, so aging myself a little bit. But he's really, you know, he's a great story when you talk about development and the patience. And unfortunately, sometimes the rules in our game don't allow that patience to happen. But he's a great story, you know, a guy that could hardly make a junior team, end up getting a chance to play in the American Hockey League and found his way and ends up going to NHL and gets on a fourth line. And we're reaping the rewards of this. His skill is really
don't know if people realize how skilled he is. He's got an unbelievable stick. He's got a long stick, got great hands, and he's really, he's starting to mature now. You know, he's a young guy, just got married, and he's a young guy that's figuring out the game. And him with Deshane and Sagan were one of the best lines in the league this, until Sagan got hurt. They're still one of the best lines with those two and Logan Stankoven playing. But he's got a great feel for the game, and he's got that other part that we all love. He's got an edge to him. He can play the game any way you want. He brings us some physicality. He's got good size, and he's really a rounded player now. And you know, the thing I'm most proud of him, he's got the discipline in him. You know, he's competitive, and he's always had an edge to him, and I don't want him to lose that edge, but he's learned how to control that, and it's really made him a very important player for us on our team.
Hey, Jim. We've been around the game long enough to know this time of year there tends to be a few distractions, including the in-laws coming in and, you know, do I get my kid the Lego set or not? And, you know, what is it like this time of year for a general manager? You have the trade freeze coming up Thursday at midnight. Is that the equivalent to the three of us now shopping at the last minute?
Yeah, a little bit. There's been some things going on. It's still pretty early, I think, for a lot to happen. You know, you've got too many teams still in it. And you look at the Eastern Conference, you know, with some teams slipping, and you look at the teams coming up, there's a lot of teams still in it. So, you know, if you're a team, you're middle of December. And to start selling off players and making trades, not easy to do right now. And then you got the other teams that are in the playoffs, and it's too early for them to start making moves because what if you get a bunch of injuries in January and February? How do you make those moves? So there's lots of talk going on, but I think it's just too early for a lot of things to happen. You know, the deadline's coming up here, like you said, on the 20th, and there might be some small moves, but I don't see – it's hard for teams on both sides of the equation to start 28, 30 games into it to start making major moves.
You know, if Jason keeps struggling for you, you can always just flip him for his brother, Nick.
Yeah, any interest?
No, I actually know them both very well. They live in Detroit in the summer times, and I spent some time in Detroit. I got grandkids back there, so I see them around. And great family. I really enjoy their family, but they are dedicated hockey players. And it's interesting because they're both so different. Different type of players, but both very effective.
Mm-hmm. Sorry, Sammy. I tried, bud.
Yeah,
I tried.
It didn't work out.
Hey, Jim, really appreciate your time. We're looking forward to the game tonight. Best of luck moving forward, and thanks again for joining us.
Yeah, thanks, guys, and all the best. You guys have spent some great time with your families, and everybody have a great Christmas, and all the best for the new year.
You as well, Jim.
You too. Thanks so much.
That is Jim Neal, general manager of the Dallas Stars, as we get set for a big game on the network here, Wednesday Night Hockey. David Amber.
Yeah. Hey, we should see if we can get the Leafs GM one day. That was nice. I enjoyed hearing about them.
Now I know why Jim Neal had so much success.
Just world's
guy.
Nicest man.
Yeah, he is. You call me, it's like, you know,
but it's
want to make a trade. And I'm like, yeah, Jimmy, sure.
What do you need?
What do you need?
It is.
Help yourself.
There's two worlds because there's the media world of the Leafs and then there's everybody else.
Mm-hmm.
Like they're figuring out ways to avoid us, the Leafs.
Very good at it.
Right?
They're great at that.
Jim's down there and he's like, I don't know if you guys know, but we got a pretty good defenseman in Miro.
Hey, this guy's like the best defense in the league over here.
Hey, and we totally understand why you don't watch him because, you know, you don't.
But please, here if you'll watch.
He is amazing.
What's
that?
Oh, my God. Yeah. He's amazing.
But Jim's smart enough to understand that if I'm going to get some attention, you know, come on shows like ours.
It really should be, you know, if you're doing PR for some of those teams in the South that, yeah, like whatever you need that, you know, we'll have people on anytime you want.
Love it.
Try to sell the game.
Okay. We talked briefly about talking about the Leaf blue line here. And I know they've managed some wins again, but it just seems over 60 minutes since that game, I guess, against New Jersey. Have we seen a little bit of slippage on the back end, in your opinion?
I mean, I will say generally, Kip, what is the last really good game the Leafs played? Like maybe they didn't beat up on the Ducks all that bad. Like they've had a pretty soft schedule. I think you got to go back to about Tampa Bay a month ago or something. So generally, I don't think they've been electric. You think defensively in particular it's been a little?
Yeah, I think, and I can't recall Craig Berube, but it was a soundbite that really stuck out with me, and it was like we're not getting out as clean as I'd like. And I think I've seen it now for about a week and a half, 2 weeks.
Well, I think a big part of that would be that you're playing one of your better puck-moving defensemen on the offside of the ice with Oliver Ekman-Larsson. He's a guy that you bring in here to be able to do that, and he's been playing on his offside. Coach talked about that. Clip four.
All right.
Yeah, well, for sure. Anybody that plays their offside is going to have a little more difficult time at times for moving the puck, you know? And you put a defenseman on his forehand and on his side, he's going to move the puck better. But I think he's okay. I think he's adjusted to it. And I think, you know, like I said, he's played it in the past, too. It's not like the first time for him to do this. You know, I think you're going to have little ups and downs with it for sure. That's just human nature, playing on your offside. It's just more difficult.
I think for me, there's still so much upside to get to with Morgan Rielly. I think if Morgan can find a way to get on a bit of a roll here, it would certainly help OEL.
Yeah, it would. I also think that, you know, they got a great showing from Timmins in the early going, and he's kind of been okay. You know, Philippe Myers is in all the time. He's okay. Like, you know.
Benoit's been hot and cold for me.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You too, Sammy?
I thought he was really great for a stretch of games after he got scratched for the Hockenpah 2 games. And I thought it would maybe 3 or 4 game stretch after that where he was really physical and really engaged. And that kind of went back down the other way for me a bit. Feels like they're going to have to manage that.
His quote really stands out to me, where he said, like, you know, someone asked him about preserving his body, and he was like, I don't have that luxury. You know, like, given where I am in the depth chart and the style I play, like, I have to play like it's a playoff game every night, and you can't succeed that way. I don't blame him for doing it, and it's not a criticism, it's just an observation. He's not going to be able to be good playing like a playoff game 82 times.
All of Reckman Larson's second lowest ice time of the season was last game against Buffalo. Played 17:41. He was a +2. He had one. He had an assist. To me, that's where ideally you have him, because they've brought him in here and he's had some really big number of games here. Like, he's had a 25, a 24, few 24s.
He's first on the team in for a while.
He's played a lot of minutes, and I think it's kind of like he had a really, really hot start here where it was pretty excited about what they paid him. And I think there's been kind of the other side of it you've seen, and a lot of it comes with playing with Rielly offside.
Maybe they'll get Rielly Luke Shen after all. Did you guys see? Oh, you did.
Yeah,
you
sent it
to us. Luke Shen had 6 shots in 3 seconds the other night. I think last
night.
I saw that. And
I haven't seen the highlight.
Typo.
I mean, it's got to be
just a typo.
Did I send the highlight?
No, I didn't see the highlight. Does he actually get off 6?
He's just
whack, 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 whack.
All in the backhand.
If you're the goalie, you're loving that.
Yeah. Yeah.
Had them stats.
But anyway, they still lost. The Rangers still lost 2-0. Here, I'll send you. I thought I sent it in the group.
6 shots in 3 seconds.
I read it and I assumed it was a typo.
No.
I didn't even look.
There you go. So, offensive dynamo, Luke Shen.
That's bad for the shooting percentage, isn't it?
Oh, it's bad. Yeah. But then, you know, you don't get a shot for a couple games. You're like, I'm averaging 2 shots a game over the last 3.
Something tells me Luke Shen's shooting percentage isn't great.
Probably not.
There goes the bonus.
Yeah.
All right, so
prediction?
Extend the domination of the Dallas Stars here tonight.
Yeah, I think you're going to see a good Leafs game tonight, a healthier Leafs team on the road.
And a very good, powerful first-line look tonight.
Nothing fancy.
Under would be my bet.
The under.
Yeah.
We'll talk about that in game time.
Yep.
You can't have a powerful line like that at the end here. I'm sorry.
Well, you can if they're not being fancy.
They're
dumping it in.
We're going to look for goals. All right. Plenty more still to come on The Real Kipper and Bourne Show. Our thanks to Jim Neal, general manager of the Dallas Stars. From one to another, we're going to welcome in Bill Guerin, general manager of the Minnesota Wild, as he also gets ready for the Four Nations tournament. We'll get into that and more when we return. Don't go away.